Slate's Negotiation Academy is brought to you by FedEx. FedEx does more than shipping. They offer businesses a range of valuable solutions. Explore the solutions at fedex.com/solutions that matter.
Hi, I'm Jill Barshay.
And I'm Seth Stevenson. Welcome to Episode 7 of Slate's Negotiation Academy. In Episode 6, we talked about how to wrap up the negotiation and close the deal.
Now we're going to talk about gender and about women at the negotiating table. There are a lot of stereotypes about women not being good negotiators. And in fact, when I think about negotiators, I rarely think about women at the table. So we went back to our professor, Aaron Wallen. He was the man who taught us how to negotiate and all the ruthless MBA techniques. And I posed the question to him, is it true? Are women bad negotiators?
Well, one issue that's been discussed a lot in the literature is that, first off, women don't see opportunities for negotiation as often as men. When they do, they feel that they're going to be penalized in an interpersonal way, in a way that men never really worry about. So more women than men will find it awkward to negotiate a salary offer. Most hiring managers expect any of their job candidates to negotiate. In fact, employers probably want you to demonstrate your ability to negotiate, especially when that is something you're going to do as part of your job. Men tend to maybe underweight any potential for negative interpersonal ramifications. That is, am I going to be perceived as greedy for asking for more money in a salary negotiation? Women overestimate that. They're overly worried about what's going to happen.
So there are two issues here. The first one is just not seeing opportunities to negotiate, not understanding that the world is ripe with these opportunities, and you just instead take what you're offered and say thank you.
And the second problem is you might see that there's an opportunity to negotiate, but you're afraid of how you'll be perceived if you do negotiate. You know, a lot of people have studied this. Books have been written about the subject. One popular one is called Women Don't Ask: Negotiation and the Gender Divide. But the irony is that women may be better negotiators than men. Professor Aaron Wallen explains.
Women need to be reminded that a lot of what they are stereotyped as being better at, that is problem solving and being warm and empathetic and thinking about other people's feelings, is a big necessary part of a successful negotiation. Yes, men may be more assertive, stereotypically. They may feel more comfortable asking for what they want. They may feel more comfortable using some of the tougher tactics. Both being attuned to the other person's emotions and paying attention to your partner and using tougher tactics are going to lead to potentially better outcomes for you. But it's not that women aren't good at something that's useful in a negotiation. They are. They just need to be reminded.
We also went back to Donna Hittrich. She was the former corporate lawyer and M&A deal maker who now teaches corporate finance at Columbia Business School. And she was often one of the only women at the negotiating table. And interestingly, she thought it was often an advantage.
It's always good to be underestimated, I found. And I have been in situations where people thought I was maybe the paralegal as opposed to the lawyer, or the analyst as opposed to the vice president or the director on the deal. So yeah, to a certain extent, it's good to be underestimated. But I think as the world has become more global and more diverse, everybody has advantages and disadvantages of being whoever they are at a negotiating table.
Go back into this idea of how it sometimes can work to your advantage to be underestimated at the beginning of a negotiation. Can you walk me through that a little more, how that helps you?
The more information I find that you can get before you put out your position is a good one. And to the extent that people don't necessarily think you have the authority to make certain calls, they tend to sometimes be more forthcoming, because what can you do with the information? And then when they find out that you actually do have the authority on behalf of your client to make the deal, bind the company, do whatever, you now have an informational advantage, I think. Also, sometimes I think there can be, you know, less testosterone flowing, if you will, and in your face. And so that sometimes is helpful.
Now, you can flip this around as a man and think about what it's like to negotiate against a woman. I actually found in our mock negotiations, in our negotiation class, I had trouble at first negotiating against the women in the class. I found, it was actually pretty easy to schmooze, and we did a good job of that. But when it came time to step on the throat and really go for what I wanted, I was a little reluctant to go all out. I was kind of too gentle. I just didn't want to plunge the knife in.
Wait, But we've just been learning that you don't need to go for the jugular and plunge the knife. And why would you even want to do that?
Well, you need to stand up for yourself at the end and aggressively go for what you're trying to get out of the deal. And I was afraid to do that.
I mean, was it that you backed down from your priority and just let her get a better price? I mean, what was it that happened?
I would kind of hold back and be a little bit too nice. And yes, you want to maintain a friendly tone of the negotiation, but there comes a time where you need to get in there, say what you want, be aggressive, and really nail down your end of the bargain.
So was it your sense of chivalry that you just didn't really state your priority forcefully enough?
Exactly. I was trying to be too nice. I was trying to keep things very pleasant, like we were at a picnic rather than a negotiating table.
Always a dating opportunity.
Yeah, I suppose so. Which brings up an interesting issue, Jill. This is something I'll just say very quickly, as long as we're talking about gender. It has often been noted that a lot of the issues that come up in negotiations can be applied to dating. For instance, one of my professors at Columbia Business School said the most important elements in any negotiation are who needs the deal more and who is feeling more time pressure. And all I'm going to say is that if you're dating in your 30s, those things can come to bear.
I think the theme of this episode is fear of negotiation. And that's what inhibits us from stepping up to the table to negotiate. And both men and women can feel this fear. I mean, you were expressing in a way your fear of negotiation because of your impulse to be chivalric. And for my part as a woman, I know that I have feared asking for more salary. And our professor has a little trick to overcome this fear.
Imagine you're negotiating for somebody else, that you're an agent, I should say, for yourself. Get yourself in that mindset that you're not being greedy. You're just getting your client what she deserves. Okay? You have a family to help support. You have constituents that need you to do well in a negotiation that are going to benefit from that. You're not being selfish. You're helping a bunch of people in your life. Perhaps that idea is a little more appealing to a lot of people, both men and women, who are uncomfortable with the idea of negotiating.
That's it for episode 7. In episode 8, we'll talk about real estate. Did you notice that rhymes?
No, I don't like that.
And we'll give you some tips for buying and selling a house or condo.
You can send us feedback and questions at our email address, podcasts, that's with an S, at slate.com.
You'll find this and every past episode of the Negotiation Academy at slate.com/negotiation. Our executive producer is Andy Bowers. Our producer is Mark Phillips. And I'm Jill Barshay.
And I'm Seth Stevenson. Happy haggling. We'll talk to you next episode.